You're listening to The Bill Murphy Show, the music interview show featuring the best in the business. From behind the scenes, in the studio, and on the stage. Available by subscription for free on iTunes and at BillMurphyShow.com. And now, here's your host, Bill Murphy.
We're back. Yep, The Bill Murphy Show is back with all new episodes starting this month and all through the summer. A lot to look forward to. A lot of great acts lined up, getting lined up. And while we're on that note, if you want to turn me on to anybody that needs to be showcased on this show, please do so at murph@billmurphyshow.com. Send me an email directly, you know, and a YouTube video or some info about somebody, even if it's you and you got some new music you want to showcase, even if you've been on the show before and we need to catch up with you, do that. We got a lot to get caught up on before we get rolling. Brought to you, as usual, by Lulu's Bait Shack. Great live rock and roll, fresh Florida seafood, and those gigantic famous fishbowl drinks on A1A and Beach Place in the heart of Fort Lauderdale Beach. Go on by and raise a glass to our good friend Rick Thornhill. I don't even know where to begin to pay tribute to the man who really got this show started, and I felt like it would be a lot easier to bring my guest for today on with me to do this. But Rick Thornhill is the man behind Lulu's Bait Shack and the guy behind this show. It was actually his idea to get this thing going. It was just like a passing conversation. It turned into a show that now has 200 episodes and over 2 million listens in its 2 years of existence. And joining me today on the show is Gary Bavona, who is also in charge of booking all the bands over there at Lulu's Bait Shack. Was also a great friend of Rick Thornhill, who unfortunately passed away back in March. And it still hits pretty hard, doesn't it, Gary?
Yeah, it does. I can't believe it's that long ago already. Yeah. Crazy.
I know, almost 2 months since we lost the guy. And I don't know. I mean, I don't mean anything bad by this, but I just don't think Lulu's is ever going to be the same.
It won't. There's no way. He was a great, smart man with great vision. And he always treated everybody amazing, as you know. He loved you.
You know, it was the man's, you know, his personal rock and roll attitude that really turned Lulu's into what it is. And I want to start this interview by talking about Lulu's. Of course, Gary also has a great Journey tribute band called Never Stop Believing. We're going to hear some of it. You guys will not believe what this band sounds like, and we'll find out what that band's up to. But for now, let's talk about Lulu's, because I think it really is just an example of Rick's rock and roll personality. The guy loved that kind of music. He wanted nothing but good, fun, classic rock bands in there. And that is the attitude that is, you know, throughout the whole building.
Yeah, I mean, it's a festive place. You know, that's what he always said to me. You know, let's make this a place where everybody's having a good time. And we worked hard on it. We talked every day. I've been booking for 10 years, but I've been really great friends with him for 12. And we talked pretty much every day about what we were going to do. And just, you know, he was a great guy, too, of looking ahead. What are we going to do? What are we going to do? You know, because, you know, I was, you know, younger than him, so I had a little different ideas than he did. And we would just meet in the middle. But he never, never was a guy that would say no. He would listen.
Yeah.
Listen. You know that about him. He was just so great about that. He would listen, and if he wasn't too sure of something, he would wait, and then he would, you know, call me, like, next day or whatever, and we'd come up with something. And he was just, wow, I love that guy.
He was
just
totally on top of it. I mean, it's a lot of times club owners can get so wrapped up in so many different things that they don't have time. They turn over the entertainment to somebody else. Whatever happens, happens. But Rick was on top of it every minute, every night, just like you said. And if the right band wasn't in there, they didn't come back. And if the attitude wasn't the way the place was supposed to be, then you guys just don't belong here. And that was just really, really cool. And nobody enjoyed the bands in that place more than he did, you know? He was the biggest fan of all, you know?
And he treated them great.
He was
very supportive. And what I loved about him, too, was he really had a good ear, you know? So, like, I couldn't be there all the time. So, you know, like, he called me, well, this is not good. That's not good. I'm like, well, go tell him to help him. And he'd do the PA, you know? And all of a sudden, he'd text me back, it's all great. Now I fixed the bass drum. I mean, he was
And I know you're cleaning that up a little bit, because I'm sure some of the language between you guys was great, but...
Oh, man, he was, yeah, it's so funny. I'm happy we're doing this late, like, you know, 5-6 weeks later, because I probably couldn't have talked about it.
No, no.
For the first couple of weeks, I was a mess.
Dude, you know? Well, I mean, you and I would both be breaking down every 2 minutes if we did this six
yeah,
weeks ago.
You're
so.
Right, you're right, bud. And but, he just, yeah, he was, hey, he was a tough guy, you know, you know, he pushed me a lot, and then, like, later on, he would tell me things, you know, like, I really tried to push getting newer bands in there, because it just was getting really young, you know, and he didn't really want to do it, and there was one thing he really kind of, like, waited on, so he said to me, this is a great story, he's like, all right, you got 2 months, and if it doesn't work, I'll get somebody else to book the band. I said, really? You know, I've been doing all this 10 years. He's like, yeah, yeah. So I said, all right, so I start putting in newer bands in there, and the newer bands are a little bit of a, it's different. I'm just going to say that, you know, they're, I want to say the right thing. They're not,
I have a, like, this discussion on my notes here for our interview, and I guess in a nutshell, there's a, you know, both of us may be turning into old farts that don't appreciate today's music, but that may be sort of where you're going with this.
Well, no, I'm actually not. I'm going with they're not like as responsible. they don't mind going on 20 minutes late, or they'll
right.
call me like 2 hours before the gig, after I just talked to them the day before. We can't show up. It is more of a lot more work.
Yeah, yeah.
You know what I'm saying? So, you know, it just...
There's a lot of
it worked because, like, you know, especially Saturday nights, there's really young people in there, so I had to, like,
right.
go, you know, younger music, so it's working. And I don't say nothing to him, so also I didn't book any bands, and I always book bands a couple of months out of advance, you know.
Uh-huh.
So now, like October rolls around, and I have no bands booked, you know. and I said, well, what do you want me to do? He goes, what do I want you to do? Just do what you're doing. I said, well, you told me you might use somebody else. He looked at me and he goes, I was just busting your balls to push you.
Yeah, and it worked.
And it worked, you know. I mean, but I got it. I could not get mad at him. I understood. Because he gave me that smile, you know.
Yeah.
He was just, dude. You know, what great thing he said to me was, he goes, I'm never going to get rid of you. Help me build this place. I mean, he didn't have to say that.
No, I mean, yeah. He gave you know, maybe more credit than you even deserved. But no, that's,
yeah,
you know,
yeah,
that's
I
the
agree.
Kind of guy he is, you know, or was.
Yeah, yeah. You know, absolutely.
And for those of you listening, we're talking about Lulu Spacek, and Gary Bivona will now be picking up where Rick Thornhill left off and continuing to book the bands there and trying to keep that same attitude and party atmosphere in there. So if you're a South Florida band and you want to, you know, get in touch with Gary, we'll have email addresses and stuff for you to find him on the page here. And even if you're a band that's out of the area and will be making your way to South Florida and you think you've got what it takes, and when I say got what it takes, I mean just what you touched on a little bit there. If you can play the good classic rock songs and then adapt to when the crowd gets a little younger later on
yeah.
in the night, maybe do some newer stuff and just really basically have fun more than anything. You got to be, you know, relatively talented too. then you'll fit that bill. So, you know.
Absolutely. I tell you, a lot of bands me and him put together also. He'd go, I like this singer and a bass player, but the other guy's got to go. And then I'd work on that, like try to replace them. We did a lot of that too. That was,
yeah.
You know.
Well, this is the first portion of this show, a great tribute to Rick Thornhill, who's, you know, we wish we had more club owners like him who, like you said, stay on top of that like that. They really mold the place into what it should be, and they have a real sound and something that fits there, and it's worked, and we hope it keeps working for you for many, many years, my brother. Now, you are a very talented keyboard player yourself, and we finally had a chance, after knowing each other for so many years, had a chance to jam together at a little tribute show we did for Rick at Lulu's, and
yeah.
It was great to see you live in action. Now, what I'm really looking forward to is seeing this Journey tribute band that you're playing with called Never Stop Believing. And I mean, we're going to roll something here in a minute so people can hear. And I think people, when they hear this recording, some of them are going to go, no, come on, that's not a tribute band. That's really Journey. That's how good you guys sound. How did that get started? I'm kind of working backwards because eventually I want to get into how you got started as a little kid in music. But how did you get the Journey tribute band going?
Well, you know... My ex-girlfriend, I always said, I would love to be in a Journey tribute band, because when Escape came out in 81 and I heard that album and I heard that keyboard, that piano player, I just was so drawn to it. You know, it was like a hot chick. I couldn't
right.
stop listening to that stuff. Anyway, so she looks at Craigslist and she goes, oh, there's this guy auditioning people for a Journey Truth band in South Florida. And it was like an hour and a half away, though. And I'm like, well, I really want to go there. So what do? I call up Rick, usual, right?
Right.
I tell him. And Rick says to me, he goes, eh, if he doesn't hire you, he's an idiot. Right? So I went. I went on the audition. It was like 160 people, and I got the gig.
No way.
And, yeah, man. It was like people, I mean, and I knew everybody. It was so funny, man. I knew so many people, and I walked in, they're like, oh, this guy's here. And I didn't know what that meant, but I remember a couple of people saying that, but so I got the gig, and I actually put the band together because the people he really wanted to put, they didn't have the feel, you know. You have to have when you're doing a tribute band. I mean, you know, Bill.
Yeah, you don't want to mess.
You have to have that feel. So he wanted to use like this drummer and this other guitar player. It had no feel, and I said, no. So I said to him, give me 3 months, and I'll put together a really great band for you. And I thought I did, you know, but. I'm on my fourth drummer,
oh, wow.
my second bass player, and third guitar player. But I think I really got it right this time. And we've been together for, you know, a long time now, like at least a year and a half. So, and it's been a great run.
Now,
you
know, I didn't realize that's been so recent. It sounded, I mean, from what I've heard about this band, I would have assumed you had been part of it for many, many years. I didn't realize it was just a couple of years ago that you got it started. Wow.
I guess it's coming up on 3 years. So now, yeah, it's not that long.
So kind of in line with where I was going to go next, and that is how iconic Journey is. I mean, they are the definition of iconic as far as classic rock goes. These songs that these guys did have stuck with people for years. They were the soundtrack of a lot of people's early years and high school years and college years. And a lot of people grew up with Journey and just never let go of them. But then when the Sopranos played Don't Stop Believin', it was a whole nother ball game for them.
Yeah, I mean, and they have so many hits. Like, we do, like, 26, 27 of their songs, and there's still another 10 songs that people go, how come you don't play this? How come you don't play that?
Yeah, right.
They have so many hits, and it's a great thing, because we could play a two-hour show, no problem. And we usually don't. We usually play hours to hour and a half, but sometimes we play a two-hour show, and we got plenty of music to play, and it's never any downtime. Like, there's no, like, fillers.
All right, well, let's listen to some of this, and we'll continue to talk about Never Stop Believin', this fabulous tribute band that Gary Bivona is a keyboard player and one of the vocalists for. Check this out, folks. This is a recording of them, and then we'll get into more of it on The Bill Murphy Show.
Took the midnight train.
That's amazing. Never stop believing, doing don't stop believing. Now, Gary, come on, man. Alive, let's be straight with me here. That's a live recording of you guys doing that all at once, or did you go into the studio and beef that up a little bit?
Well, it was live.
Okay.
What we did is, it was live, and we did a little tweak on the vocals.
Sure. Okay.
But no, that was live. It's not my band, it's the singer's band, but, you know, he did make me musical director, and I told him, I said, I am kind of nuts, so I rehearse these guys to death.
You know what? I was going to actually I was going to say, it seems like you are a little bit nuts, because, I mean, the attention to detail, first of all, the singer, let's just not call him that guy, the singer, what's his name and where did he come from?
It's Don Ferrari, he owns DC Studios, he has his own studio in West Palm.
Wow.
Great guy, and he totally trusts me, and like I said, because he said, just do the music, so I do, I really try and baby him where he could just not talk and come to the gigs and sing, because it's not an easy thing.
No.
And you're an awesome singer, but, you know, if you're talking all day long and you're not drinking water and, you know, so I try and baby him. I don't even let him talk. It's like, we got to play the Blueberry Fest tomorrow, and we'll drive there and...
Kind of like, that's kind of like what my band does with me. I'm just kidding.
Exactly.
No.
Exactly.
But you know how we need to be treated with kid gloves, you know what I mean?
You do. I'll be telling jokes, making everybody laugh, but I'll look at him and go, don't laugh.
That's, you know, it's tremendous. And to sing that many songs, I mean, an hour and a half of that straight would just be, I can't even imagine. It's making my throat hurt just to think about it.
Yeah, he does not have an easy job. And
no.
Some gigs, unfortunately, we go to a gig and, you know, we can't be so amazing that we'll just change it up, because they did a lot of jamming, and and I sing a bunch of songs for the great, like Greg Raleigh.
Wow,
you know,
yeah.
Did before Jonathan King came in the band. So
just the same way and that kind of stuff?
Yeah.
Awesome.
Exactly. So I sing a couple songs, and we just, it's about energy, but we are tired. Our background vocals are just, we really do work them to death.
Yeah, man, the attention to detail, and especially in the backup vocals and the guitar sound. I mean, you had to like look up Neil Sean's settings to get all those guitar sounds to sound exactly like that and everything. You got
a lot of work.
A lot
it
of
really
detail.
It really took us a lot of time, because we wanted to be at the best possible. You know, we don't want to embarrass them. We love it. Every guy in this band really loves Journey too. That's another thing. Like, we had some other guys that were really shredders, but they're like, yeah, he's not that great. And I'm like, wow, this guy's not being in this band.
Everything you're saying is quite obvious from watching the video, just because you can see the love of the band on all the guys' faces, and it's great. It's like I said, the attention to detail, it really only comes from having a passion for it, and you guys definitely do. That's amazing.
That's right.
So now on to your playing. I mean, is your anal retentiveness as far as the band goes, does that translate into your everyday playing? I mean, let's get into this subject, talking about the way keyboards have evolved over the years, and now there's virtual things out there. Are you one of those purists that just will not stand for a virtual keyboard sound? You want it to be as real as possible all the time?
Well, I do program all my keyboards, and that is another process that I do all the time.
Right.
Like, for instance, I'm playing with a Led Zeppelin tribute in May in Texas.
Wow.
I mean, when I was a kid, I always wanted to be John Paul Jones, play bass and play keyboards, right? And really, then by 81, when Escape came out, when John DeCane got in the band, I just went over to that side, you know? But I got a call from this band. They wanted me to fill in. And I said, what a challenge, right? And I'm like, I'm so in. Because I used to play a lot of bass in the 90s. So
right.
Right now, what I'm doing is I'm programming all those sounds for the Zeppelin, and it is a process. But to me, it's fun. I like doing it, you know.
I see.
But it like, you know, we're doing all Cashmere and No Quarter, and I'm pretty much nailing them too. So it's like you have to have keyboards that are easy to program. Now, like the best keyboards probably out there are these Yamaha Motifs.
Right.
They're not really easy to program.
Yeah,
they're really not. So I have Rolands and Kurzweils because they're so easy.
Right. And you embrace the technology, but you'll take the time to make sure that you're getting the most out of all the settings that you can.
Oh, yeah. I am a nut. Like, the drummer, what's the drummer called me? He calls me the mad scientist.
You know, it's funny that you mentioned that, because I actually had a chance to speak with Alan Parsons, who is sort of one of the heroes as far as that stuff goes. And I actually, you know, I talked to him about the days when the Yamaha DX7 came out. They did about two albums that were just like layered with DX7 sounds. And I said, man, you guys must have just been in there tuning algorithms and rewriting the patches and everything. He goes, don't make too much of it. We were just going around and flipping from one sound to the other, saying,
really?
How does this sound? How does this sound? I mean, it really kind of oversimplified what we thought was going on as far as the Wizard of Oz, man behind the curtain thing, you know?
Do you know he was on Dark Side of the Moon? He was one of the engineers?
Of course, he produced the thing. What are you kidding me?
I didn't know. He's just, that guy has such an amazing history.
I thought you were being...
I didn't even know that. I didn't know he was...
I thought you were being facetious with
me. No, because that was one of the first things he did. And like, what was that, like 71?
I don't know if you know this, but he actually was the tape op on the Abbey Road album.
Didn't know that either. Wow, that guy, amazing. What a
Yeah.
An amazing man for music.
Yeah, it's just one of my all-time heroes. And, you get into this programming the sounds and making sure that everything is true to the song and taking the time to go through it and programming and which keyboards are easier to program. And it kind of reminded me of that. So,
it's a big deal. It really is. I just bought one, you know.
Bought one of the what?
I bought a Kurzweil. I was going to go buy the Motif. And it was going side by side with them. And I'm like, wait a minute, this thing live is so much easier to program.
And that would be which model, Kurzweil?
I had the PC-88MX, but I just bought another one because that's me, PC-3X.
Right, okay, oh yeah,
okay. 88 key, I mean, it's the grand pianos in it. First of all, I am a piano player more than anything else. But
yeah.
I need, before I buy anything, it's got to be, the piano's got to sound amazing. And the chips in here with the piano sounds are just amazing. But it's really, it has really other great sounds. So
I want to get into, first of all, before we wrap this up, when we wrap this up, we'll play another tune from Never Stop Believing. And I also want to make sure that all the guys in the band get props and we find out where you're playing. But I want to take a couple of minutes here and go back to your early days and when you first started playing keyboards. I imagine you were playing as a young lad. Were there any particular, and I'm not even really talking about the heroes themselves, I'm talking about some actual performances. One that stands out in my head was on Peter Frampton's Do You Feel Like We Do, the solo that Bob Mayo does where he goes, Bob Mayo on the keyboards. I mean, obviously one of the best moments in classic rock history. Is that an example of maybe solos that you tried to learn at an early age, and what other ones would be good examples of that?
You know, I think I really had like the greatest thing of music because I was taking class in high school. I was taking classical, right? But I would come home and my brothers would listen to like the best rock ever,
right?
You know, so like it was. I mean, really, Led Zeppelin. There was a lot of great solos with John Paul Jones. You know.
Oh yeah.
And but my brothers got me into so much amazing music and it's just like, and Frampton was one of them, you know. But I always loved the bands that had keyboards in it, you know.
Yeah, and that was I want to stay on this one for a little bit, because that particular solo was that was a Fender Rhodes, or would that have been a Wurlitzer? Are you sure? You know
on which one on
Do You Feel Like We Do? Yeah.
That sounds like a Fender Rhodes to me.
Yeah, I think so too.
Now, yeah, it's a Fender Rhodes.
I mean, I've tried to toy around with it. I would never even call myself a keyboard player, but I've kind of played around with it. And for the progression that's going on, it seems like he's going way off on some tangents, but they really, really work. And it just seems to be like a very underappreciated, very technically perfect solo.
Yeah, Bob Mayo was just great. I mean, and Tony, what was it? Foreigner's fourth album.
Yeah, exactly.
He played all on that, and wow, the sounds on that album.
Right.
Wow. Talk about a guy adjusting, because that was a time when the analog synths are really coming out.
Yep.
And they weren't easy to program, by the way. And you know, he was just really an Arp Odyssey string, or his Fender Rhodes. That's really all he did back then. So he really adjusted, because the sound. I'm listening to those sounds on Foreigner 4. I mean, they're just great keyboard sounds. That's all him.
Yeah, and then all people did for the next 10 years was copy that and try to do it that well.
Yeah, I wish I could say I wasn't one of them.
Fantastic. Gary Bavona, you can you're going to see more of him about him on our page for the show. You can get in touch with him about Lulu's, find out who's playing over there, or if you want to get involved, we'll give you a way to get in touch with him. Who are the guys in your Never Stop Believin' band that we should give props to, because they all sound fantastic?
Yeah, well, I have on bass Cam Falk. He's probably the best musician I know. I'm the guy who could play classical jazz piano like nobody's business. He's a great engineer, too. He works at the Art Institute. Then I have Jerry O'Malley on drums. Jerry's been playing with me for about 20 years, and he is another Journey nut.
Wow.
Could love it. And I got Clint Ator on guitar, who's another guy with a music degree. And, you know, there's no, like... We put stuff together. There's no like, this is your note. You just say whatever it is. Right? You sing the ninth, you sing the seventh, I'll take the fifth. It's done.
Right.
There's no, you know, these guys are really sharp guys and just pleasure to work with. It's all we do is laugh.
And would that be it? There's five of you all together?
Oh, yeah, and then you got Donnie Ferrari on vocals. Yeah.
Okay.
How can I forget Donnie? You know, but Donnie's, it's Donnie's band, you know, and it's just a lot of fun. I mean, I'm never not excited. Like, tomorrow we have a gig, and supposedly at the Blueberry Fest for the weekend, there's going to be 50,000 people there. So who knows how many will be at our gig, but, you know,
right.
It's a huge festival, and it's going to be a blast.
Where is that? Give us the details on that one more time.
That's in Brooksville. It's just north of Tampa.
Okay.
So we're on from 9 to 10:30, and believe it or not, we have a lot of fans there that will come see us,
because
we've been playing all over Florida for, you know, a couple of years now, so we're really building it up, you know.
That's awesome. I was surprised to hear you had five guys, because when you listen to it, I would have thought it would have taken at least six guys to get all those sounds to sound that great. So hats off to you guys for pulling it off.
Thanks.
With five. That's really, really awesome. Gary Bavona, I really appreciate you coming on. We're going to wrap up the show here with a little Faithfully, so people can hear another example of how great you guys sound. But I really appreciate you coming on here and talking about Lulu's, paying tribute to Rick with me, and just hanging out and getting into all this music with me, man. It's you're a great guy. You did a great thing for Rick at the tribute last month. And keep up the great work, and we'll make sure that people, by way of all the links and stuff here, can keep tabs on what you're up to, my brother.
Bill, thanks for having me. An honor, man. You are a one talented guy yourself, buddy, and I'll see you soon, right?
Absolutely, man. We will hang out very, very soon. I'll catch you down at Lulu's one of these nights. Next time you're going to be down there, definitely give me a call.
Sounds great, Bill. Take care, buddy.
Gary Bavona from Never Stop Believin', here they are as we wrap up another edition of the Bill Murphy Show. Make sure, like I said at the top of the show, to let me know if you've got any bands that need to be on here and be showcased, and we'll be happy to get them on. Tune in, lots of new shows coming up through the month of May. Tell your friends, keep liking and keep sharing. We really appreciate it.
Highway run into the midnight sun. Wheels go round and round my mind. Restless heart, sleep alone tonight. Sending all my love along the wire. Say that the road is no place to start a family. Right down the line, it's me, you and me. Circus.